Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
You know, I think we all kind of hate risk when it comes to projects, right? Like, we all love to feel in control.
Yeah, for sure.
But what if we could, like, bake risk management into the process instead of treating it like a separate thing? Well, that's what we're going to be diving into today with evolutionary project management.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, and we're going to be basing this deep dive on this booklet by project management expert Niels Melito.
Okay.
And he actually developed this Evo approach,
okay,
which is what we'll be calling it.
Right.
But one of the really interesting things he says is that a lot of what we call like project risks are actually like predictable patterns.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like they're almost built-in challenges that we can like actually prepare for in a way.
Right. Like you think about it, like unrealistic deadlines or scope creep or communication breakdowns. Those things happen on pretty much every project. You know?
Right.
So they're not really random risks as much as like predictable hurdles.
Totally. Yeah.
And Evo gives you the tools to address these challenges head on.
Okay. So let's unpack this Evo approach then.
Okay.
Melito starts by redefining project success. So he says it's not just about like hitting deadlines and staying within budget. It's about making sure that the customer is more successful because of your work.
Right.
So how does that shift in mindset like change the game then?
Well, like if you imagine you're building a piece of software.
Okay.
And you deliver it on time and within budget. But the interface is like so clunky that the customer really struggles to use it.
Yeah.
You technically met the project goals.
Right.
But have you really succeeded if the customer isn't getting the value they need?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
It's not just about checking boxes. It's about like making a real impact.
Totally.
So even a minor thing like a poorly designed interface can become like a problem or what Melito calls a defect.
Yeah.
Because it hinders the customer's success.
Right.
Which means it hinders the project's true success.
Exactly. And Evo helps address these defects by emphasizing constant feedback loops throughout the process.
Oh, okay.
That way you can catch those clunky interfaces early on before they become a major headache.
Gotcha. So this feedback loop idea sounds pretty key.
Yeah.
So tell me more about how that actually works in Evo.
Well, at the heart of Evo is the PDCA cycle.
Okay.
Which stands for Plan, Do, Check, Act.
Right.
And it's a continuous loop.
Okay.
Of planning your work, executing the plan, evaluating the results, and then adjusting your approach based on what you learned.
Okay.
And like crucially, the act part is where the rubber meets the road.
Right.
It's not just about like analyzing what went wrong. It's about taking action to fix it and to fix it quickly.
Right, right.
You know, decisively.
Yeah, this constant checking and adjusting.
Yeah.
Is that where like the productivity boost comes in?
It can be, yeah.
Because Melito claims that projects using Evo often see like a 30% increase in productivity within weeks. But wouldn't all this checking and adjusting actually slow things down?
It seems counterintuitive.
Yeah.
I know, but think of it this way.
Okay.
Like catching a minor error early on in the process, it might only take you an hour to fix.
Okay.
But if you let that error slip through,
right,
it could snowball into a major issue that takes days or even weeks to untangle later on.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So Evo's short cycles, they force you to address those little problems before they become big monsters.
So you're essentially trading a little bit of like upfront effort.
Right.
For a much smoother, more efficient process down the line.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And it ties back to those predictable challenges we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Melito isn't saying that these challenges are unavoidable. Mm-hmm. He's saying that they're manageable if you have the right systems in place.
Right. And that's where some of Evo's specific techniques come into play.
Okay.
Like, for example, unrealistic deadlines.
Right.
We've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
You've got this ambitious timeline.
Yeah.
And then reality hits and suddenly you're scrambling to catch up.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So Evo tackles this with something called time boxing.
Okay. I'm intrigued. How does time boxing help prevent those deadline disasters?
So time boxing forces you to be realistic from the start.
Okay.
Instead of allocating all of the available time to a task, you deliberately leave a buffer, usually around a third of the total time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And this buffer is reserved for those inevitable interruptions, you know, unexpected problems and just the general chaos that tends to creep into projects.
So you're basically accepting that things will go wrong.
Yeah.
And you're building that acceptance into the schedule from the get-go.
Exactly.
Okay, that sounds like a much more sane way to plan.
It is. And this upfront honesty can be a big adjustment for teams that are used to traditional project management.
Right.
But the benefits are significant.
I bet there's some pushback, though, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because people are so used to those jam-packed schedules.
Yeah.
So how do you get buy-in for this time-boxing approach?
It can be a tough sell at first.
Yeah.
But once teams actually see how much smoother the process becomes and how much less stressful it is to have that buffer built in,
right,
they tend to come around.
Okay, so this time-boxing technique,
yeah,
is that just for dealing with deadlines, or does it apply to other predictable challenges as well?
It's a versatile tool that can be applied to a lot of different situations.
Okay.
And it works in tandem with other Evo techniques, like the interrupt procedure.
Okay, tell me more about that. What's the interrupt procedure, and how does it help keep projects on track?
Okay, so imagine this. You're deep in the flow, you know, working on a critical task.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly, a new urgent request just lands on your desk.
Oh, yeah.
So in a traditional project environment,
right,
this kind of interruption can really throw everything off track.
Oh, I know that feeling all too well. Like,
yeah,
you're constantly putting out fires,
right,
and you can never quite catch up.
Right. But with the interrupt procedure,
okay,
you actually have a system for dealing with these inevitable disruptions.
Okay.
So instead of just letting the new task completely derail the entire project,
mm-hmm,
you assess its urgency and impact.
Okay.
And then you decide how to best integrate it into the existing workflow.
So it's not about ignoring those urgent requests.
Right.
It's about having a process for managing them.
Exactly.
Without sacrificing the overall project goal.
Exactly. And that's a key principle in Evo.
Okay.
It's not about eliminating risk altogether. It's about having the tools and the mindset to deal with it effectively.
Okay.
Whether it's a predictable challenge or a sudden unexpected interruption.
This is fascinating stuff. We've covered a lot of ground already.
Yeah, we have.
But I feel like we're just scratching the surface of Evo.
There's a lot to it.
Yeah, I'm particularly interested in how it addresses those truly unexpected risks.
Yeah.
The ones you can't necessarily plan for.
For sure.
But I think that's a conversation for part two of this deep dive.
I agree. There's a lot more to explore, so stay tuned.
Okay.
We'll be back soon to delve deeper into the world of evolutionary project management.
Awesome. Sounds good. Welcome back. So last time we were talking about how Evo helps you kind of deal with those predictable challenges and even turn them into like opportunities.
Right.
But what about managing requirements? Because, I mean, requirements change all the time, don't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Shifting requirements can be a real headache for projects.
Right.
You know, traditional project management often tries to, like, nail down all the requirements up front.
Yeah.
But Evo takes a very different approach.
Okay, so that's where this idea of Planguage comes in.
Yeah.
Using these numerical targets for requirements.
Exactly.
I found that really interesting.
It's a really powerful tool.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you think about a typical requirement, like, you know,
mm-hmm,
the system should be user-friendly.
Right.
Like, what does that even mean?
Right, it's so vague.
It's totally subjective, open to interpretation.
Yeah.
And it can lead to, like, all sorts of disagreements down the line.
Totally. So how does Planguage solve that problem then?
Well, it forces you to define success in concrete, measurable terms.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of that vague, user-friendly requirement,
right,
you might say something like,
yeah,
90% of users should be able to complete task X in under 60 seconds without needing to consult the help documentation.
Wow. Okay, that's way more specific.
Right.
I can see how that would, like, get rid of any ambiguity.
Exactly.
But wouldn't defining every single requirement with these numerical targets be, like, super time-consuming?
It can be an adjustment for sure.
Yeah.
Especially for teams that are used to working with more general requirements.
Right.
But the time you invest up front really pays off in the long run.
Okay.
Because those clear targets, they help prevent misunderstandings.
Mm-hmm.
They reduce rework.
Right.
And ultimately, they save you a ton of time and headaches down the line.
Okay, I see the logic. So walk me through how Planguage works in practice then.
Okay.
Like, say you're building a new feature for an app.
Okay.
Something like a budgeting tool.
Okay.
How would you use Planguage to define those requirements?
Okay, so let's say a key requirement is that users should be able to, like, easily track their expenses.
Right.
Instead of leaving that open to interpretation,
yeah,
we would use Planguage to define what easily actually means.
Okay.
So we might say users should be able to input a new expense, categorize it, and assign it to a budget category in under 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. That's a clear target.
Right.
But how do you determine if 30 seconds is actually achievable?
Yeah, That's a good point.
Like, what if it takes most people like a minute to do all that?
Well, that's where benchmarking comes in.
Okay.
So you research like industry standards, you look at competitor apps.
Right.
And most importantly, you involve your users.
Okay.
You conduct usability tests.
Yeah.
And see how long it actually takes people to complete these tasks.
Right.
And then you set your language targets based on that real world data.
So you're combining like hard data with user feedback.
Exactly.
To create these realistic and meaningful targets.
Exactly. And PlangWidge takes this a step further with the concept of must and goal values.
Okay, what's the difference?
So the must value is your non-negotiable bottom line.
Okay.
So if the feature doesn't meet this target, it's considered a failure.
Gotcha.
So for our budgeting app example, the must value might be users should be able to input a new expense in under 60 seconds.
So that's like the bare minimum.
Exactly.
The absolute essential functionality.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what about the goal value?
So that's your aspirational target.
Okay.
It's the level of performance that you're really aiming for.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal value might be users should be able to input a new expense in under 15 seconds.
So this must and goal idea, I find it really intriguing. It's you're acknowledging that not everything needs to be perfect from the start.
Right.
But you're still pushing for like excellence.
Right. And it ties back to that core Evo principle of continuous improvement.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly evaluating your progress against those language targets. And if you're not hitting your goal value, then you can use the PDCA cycle to adjust and improve.
So even if you're meeting the must value, you're still looking for ways to make things even better to reach that goal.
Exactly.
It's like a built-in mechanism for pushing innovation.
For sure.
And exceeding expectations.
Exactly. And this approach has a huge impact on your relationship with the customer.
Oh, really? How so?
Well, when you involve the customer in defining those language targets.
Right.
They feel a sense of ownership and buy-in.
Oh, okay.
It's no longer like an us versus them mentality.
Hmm.
You're actually working together to achieve like a shared definition of success.
Okay. I see how that collaboration would build trust and make it easier to navigate those inevitable moments when things don't go exactly as planned.
Totally.
Speaking of which, let's talk about those like external dependencies that are often outside of our control.
For sure.
We talked about active synchronization in part one. But I'd love to dig a little deeper into how it helps us manage those potentially risky situations.
Okay, so active synchronization.
Yeah.
It's all about turning those passive waiting games into proactive collaborations.
Okay.
So think about a scenario where you're relying on a supplier to deliver a critical component for your project.
Oh, that's a recipe for stress right there.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah, you're sitting there just like hoping they meet the deadline.
Yeah.
But you have no real control over their process.
Right. So instead of just sending an email and crossing your fingers, active synchronization encourages you to be much more proactive.
Okay.
So you schedule like regular calls with the supplier.
Mm-hmm.
You visit their facilities if possible.
Wow.
And you set up like a shared online dashboard to track progress.
Oh, okay.
You're essentially like integrating them into your team.
So it's about building relationships, fostering communication, and ensuring everyone's like on the same page. Okay, but what if there is a delay on the supplier's end?
Yeah.
How does active synchronization help in that situation?
Well, by being so closely involved, you're much more likely to identify potential problems early on.
Okay.
Like maybe they're facing a shortage of materials or having some technical difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
So by knowing this in advance, you can work together to find solutions, adjust your own timelines, and minimize the impact on your overall project.
So active synchronization is really about turning a potential risk into an opportunity for collaboration and problem solving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's about shifting your mindset from reactive to proactive.
Okay.
You know? You're not waiting for problems to happen.
Yeah.
You're actively seeking them out.
Right.
And addressing them before they become like major roadblocks.
I'm seeing how this Evo approach is all about empowerment.
Yeah.
You know, taking control of the things you can control and proactively managing the things you can't.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Evo gives you the tools and the mindset
to
navigate the complexities of projects with confidence and resilience.
This has been really insightful.
It's a fascinating topic.
Yeah, but before we get too carried away, let's pause here and pick up the conversation in part three.
Sounds good.
I'm really eager to hear more about how Evo handles those truly unexpected risks.
Yeah.
the ones you can't necessarily plan for.
Right.
So stay tuned, everyone.
We'll be right back to explore that and wrap up our deep dive into evolutionary project management.
All right, so welcome back to our deep dive into evolutionary project management. So far, we've really explored how Evo helps us tackle those predictable challenges, right? And even turn them into, like, opportunities. Mm-hmm. But what about those unexpected curveballs,
right,
that just kind of inevitably come our way?
Yeah.
You know, the kind of risks that just seem to materialize out of thin air?
It's true. You can't anticipate every single risk that might pop up on a project.
Right.
But Evo does equip you with a mindset and a set of practices,
okay,
that help to build resilience and adaptability, mm-hmm, even in the face of the unknown.
Yeah, that's what I find so fascinating about Evo.
Yeah.
It's not about trying to create a plan for every single possible scenario, which,
yeah,
would be, like, impossible. Yeah. It's about, like, building a foundation,
right,
that can help you weather any storm,
yeah,
even those that come out of nowhere.
Think of it like this.
Okay.
You're constructing a building.
Mm-hmm.
In an earthquake zone.
Okay.
You can't predict exactly when or where the next earthquake will hit.
Right.
But you can build a structure that can withstand those tremors.
Right.
So Evo's kind of like that.
Okay.
It creates this robust framework,
yeah,
that can really handle those unexpected shocks to the system.
So how does it do that?
Yeah.
Like, what are those core elements that make Evo so adaptable?
Well, it all comes back to those principles that we've been talking about.
Okay.
Throughout this whole deep dive,
right,
you know, the PDCA cycle,
mm-hmm,
clear communication,
right,
iterative deliveries,
yeah,
customer collaboration,
mm-hmm,
and that proactive mindset.
Okay.
These practices, they aren't just about managing predictable challenges.
Right.
They're really about creating a culture of flexibility and responsiveness.
Oh, okay.
So you're ready to pivot when those unexpected risks actually emerge.
Okay, so instead of, like, panicking when something unforeseen happens,
yeah,
you kind of already have this ingrained habit,
mm-hmm,
of assessing the situation,
yeah,
adapting your plan,
right,
and moving forward.
Exactly. It's like having those mental muscles already built up.
Yeah.
So you can handle whatever weight gets thrown your way.
Totally. And I think...
And remember, Evo emphasizes continuous learning. So every challenge,
mm-hmm,
whether it was anticipated or not,
right,
becomes this opportunity to gather insights.
Okay.
Refine your approach.
Yeah.
And get even better at handling those curveballs, mm-hmm, the next time they come around.
So it's not about striving for some mythical state of zero risk. It's about embracing those risks as opportunities to learn and grow. It's almost like that saying,
yeah,
you know, smooth seas never made a skilled sailor.
Exactly.
Like, Evo encourages you to embrace those rough waters and,
yeah,
become, like, a more experienced navigator.
Yeah.
Because of them.
Exactly. And this mindset shift is crucial.
Okay.
And not just for project management, but for any field, really,
mm,
where you're dealing with complexity and uncertainty.
Right.
You know, it's about fostering this culture of continuous learning and improvement.
Okay.
Which is essential for long-term success.
Yeah. We've covered so much ground in this deep dive.
Yeah, it's been great.
And it's clear that Evo is so much more than just, like, a set of project management techniques.
Right.
It's really, like, a philosophy.
Oh, really?
A way of approaching work and life.
Yeah.
With this, like, proactive, adaptable mindset.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
And if there's one key takeaway,
okay,
that I want you to walk away with, it's this.
Mm-hmm.
The goal of Evo isn't to eliminate risk altogether.
Right.
Because, yeah, that's just not possible. It's really about transforming your relationship with risk.
Okay.
From one of fear and avoidance,
right,
to one of understanding control.
Yeah.
And even opportunity.
That's such a powerful message.
It is.
It's about shifting our perspective from seeing risk as, like, a threat.
Right.
To, yeah, seeing it as a catalyst for growth and innovation.
Exactly. Okay. And by embracing this mindset,
mm-hmm,
we can unlock our true potential as project leaders,
yeah,
problem solvers,
yeah,
and ultimately as, like, successful human beings.
This has been such an incredible exploration of evolutionary project management.
It's been a pleasure talking about it.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your insights.
It's been my pleasure.
And to all of you listening, we encourage you to continue exploring this world of Evo.
Yeah, definitely.
There's just so much to learn and discover,
mm-hmm,
and we're confident that this approach can help you navigate the complexities of your work.
For sure.
With more confidence, resilience, and maybe even, like, a little bit of excitement for those unexpected challenges that come your way.
Until next time, keep learning, keep adapting.
Yeah.
And keep evolving.
Stop diving deep.